Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Cancer is a Racket, right after this. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second, the eighth, and the tenth planks to the Communist Manifesto. It's a foreign and an alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. Now, these foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. And we covet our neighbor's property, and then we call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures, and we call those Federal Reserve notes. We practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government. And you know, we're not getting away with this either. We're now paying about 75% of everything that we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged houses owned by the savings and loan companies. We drive cars, but they're owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. And the average family of four in America has a $70,000 consumer debt. As a nation, we have a $10 trillion national debt. And then we've gone surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations. And our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide. Our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme. You and I are living from paycheck to paycheck. And then we've been taught to call all of this prosperity. Well, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way than that. And our founding fathers followed that better way in our Constitution. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call and order our free 4-hour compact disc package. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. Cancer is a racket. Last time we took a look at the cause for cancer. The Bible tells you what the cause is. Cause, called sin, S-I-N. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. The transgression of the law in common parlance is called crime. And when you break a law, you get a penalty. And you have to get a penalty. You see, if you could have a law without a penalty, you wouldn't have a law. You would have a suggestion. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. It's a law book. It's a book filled with laws that have consequences as penalties. Now, that's strange for Mr. Rogers' neighborhood because, see, Mr. Rogers never has any penalties for anything that they do. Cartoons never have penalties, never have consequences. Sesame Street, Big Bird, Barney, they never have any consequences. You see, everything comes out right in the end. Now, out here in the real world, there's some bad guys, there's some bad people, there are some bad consequences that come down based upon your actions. You're living in New York City, a guy knocks on your door, comes into your store, he says, pay me $100 a week or your store is going to burn down. We call this an extortion racket. And the mafia does that, see, we call that extortion. When the government does that, we call it tax. Call it taxation. It's a shakedown. When an insurance company goes to the legislature and they get laws passed that require you to buy their product, buy their insurance, and if you don't, we're going to punish you. We'll take your car away from you. We'll put you in jail. We'll give you a fine. We'll take your driver's license away. That's extortion. That isn't free choice. Now somebody comes along and says, well, it's good for you. Well, of course, the mafia guy, you know, it's good for you to pay $100 a week in shakedown money because if you don't, he's going to burn your store down. I'm not telling you that paying your extortion over here isn't good for you. But I wanted to point out that it's a crime, it's a theft, and the people that do that are criminals. And when government is shaking you down and calling it taxes, it's a criminal activity. Nothing more, nothing less. You're not volunteering to pay that tax. You're not volunteering to buy that auto insurance policy. You're doing that under threat. You're doing that out of fear. Now, fear is a very positive, a very powerful motivator. It's one of five motivators of human nature. If you want, I'll just give them to you. Number one is vanity. You're motivated by vanity, and that's why you buy a Lexus. Or a BMW, or a Rolls Royce. You're vain. Human beings are filled with vanity, and they like to show it off. And as my wife says, if you've got it, flaunt it. Okay, that's vanity. Now, God tells you not to do that, but then, you know, what the hell does God know? Second is jealousy. People are basically, and just designed, you know, this is a design mechanism, not a flaw. You were designed intelligently by an intelligent creator, and he put jealousy in you. You're naturally jealous. When somebody else has got that Lexus, it makes you jealous. You want one too. Makes you just mad as a hornet that that guy's got something that you don't have, can't afford. The next is lust, L-U-S-T. You have an inordinate desire to take things that don't belong to you. That's why we have theft. You have lust. That guy's got it, and I want it. And I probably don't need it and can't use it, not to have it, but I lust after it anyway. So we have vanity, jealousy, lust. Now it's followed by greed. All the land in the world that I want is the land next to mine, which means that I have an insatiable desire for land. That's where Russia is, the Chinese, the Americans. See, the American Empire now has 752 countries. We have 761 military bases in these 752 countries. We spend more on national defense than all the rest of the countries of the world combined. We don't have enough bombs. We don't have enough airplanes. And you can rest assured that the Pentagon will be back to Congress next year asking for more money for national defense. Who in the hell is going to attack America? Well, the terrorists. Oh, come on. Wake up and smell the coffee over here. Those guys don't even come up on the radar screen. But we got to have it. We spend more money on education than anybody, any other country in the world. Have the dumbest kids, spend more money than anybody else. Have bigger, better schools than anybody else and dumber kids. Can't figure it out. When we spent less money, we had smarter kids. Spend more money. If you want to make your kids dumber, spend more money on education. It's worked for the last 100 years. What makes you think that it's going to fail in the future? And what you need is more money for more education, more teachers, smaller class sizes, bigger, better schools, and Olympic-sized swimming pools. And then you can turn out dumber and dumber kids. So if you want dumber kids, spend more money on education. That's been the winning scenario in the past. I know it doesn't make any sense, and you're sitting there saying, well, no, Mr. Gordon, we don't want dumber kids. We want smarter and smarter kids, and that's why we spend more and more money on education. Well, that's a cover story, but that isn't what you're getting. So when we talk about disease over here, specifically cancer, I said cancer is a racket. You're spending more and more money on cancer than you've ever spent before, and you've got more and more cancer than you've ever had in the past. So whatever it is you've been doing over the last 100 years to move cancer from affecting one person in 33 to now affecting one person out of every two, keep after it. Don't change anything. It's a winner. It's a proven winner. Now you're sitting there, oh no, Mr. Gordon, you misunderstand. See, we don't want more cancer. We're trying to cure cancer. We're spending our money and marching on Washington and spending billions of dollars so we can find a cure to cancer so that nobody will ever have cancer again. Okay. Well, so far you've failed. And cancer is getting worse, and they tell us by 2020 it's going to affect one person out of every one. That is 100% of people born in America will get cancer at least once in their lifetime, statistically. For every one that doesn't get cancer, somebody else had to get it twice or three times. And so last time I said, let's find out what causes cancer. I told you. Cancer has a cause. The cause is revealed in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and Exodus 15, 26. There is a guy out there that we call God. That ain't his name, but that's what we call him. And he's a creator. He's a pretty smart boy. He's been around for a long time. Has something that we call eternal life. We don't know what that is. Eternal life. You don't have it, and you've been told that you have it. You believe that you have it, but you don't. You're going to die. And the scripture tells you very plainly, the soul that sins, it shall die. And then that's another contradiction, because you believe you've got a soul, but you believe that souls are immortal, live forever. Souls don't die. Bodies die. Souls don't. Just goes to show you've been wrong more than once. And I just showed you twice. Now, sickness, disease, and plague has an origin, has a cause. And the origin and the cause is God himself. It doesn't come accidentally. It has a cause. So I showed you a couple of causes. Gout, for instance, is caused by excessive protein, and scurvy is caused by a lack of vitamin C. So there's a cure for scurvy, and there's a cure for gout. No big mystery about it. Now, the people who deal with sickness and disease know that. They know how to cure scurvy. I don't think there's a doctor in America that couldn't cure scurvy. You give him the symptoms, he'll put it into his computer, or he'll go to the physician's desk reference and say, oh my God, you're lacking in vitamin C, I'm going to give you a prescription. Send you down to the drugstore, and the druggist will fill your prescription with vitamin C. And you'll go home, take two after every meal, and live happily ever after. Now, has it ever occurred to any of these people that cancer also has a cause, that it's a nutritional deficiency? And I showed you that the other day. It is. It's a nutritional deficiency. It's called vitamin B17. It's Laetrile. And Laetrile is banned. It's abolished. If we catch you with this stuff, we're going to prosecute you and put you in jail. And if you prescribe this stuff over here, then we're going to take your license away from you, doc, and jail you. Now, that ought to tell you that it's a racket. Nobody's interested in a cure for cancer. And there's a reason. It's a $500 billion a year business. Nobody is interested in educating your child because school is a $500 billion a year racket. Now, let me give you a little illustration. We spend $10,000 educating children in public school, and they school, and on average, they score at the 50th percentile. Just take all the public schools in America, lump them all together, take an average, and your kid's going to score 50. All right. Cost $10,000 to score 50. Now, let's go to the parochial schools. Go to the local Catholic school or Baptist school or some military school. They score at the 80th percentile, and they don't spend $10,000 per kid. They spend about $2,500 per kid. They spend about one-fourth as much and give you about a 50% increase in the kid's score. The champion is the home school. The home school costs $586 a year, last time I saw a number. So for $600 a year, let's go up to 1,000. For less than $1,000 a year, you can educate your kid in your own home school, do it yourself, without any more than a high school education yourself. Just buy the program and give it to your kid and administer the program. Your kid will score on average at the 86th percentile. Now, the reason I say school is a racket is because there isn't an educator in America that doesn't know this. I'm not telling you something, you know, tails out of school. Hell, I didn't know what the numbers were until I looked them up. Now, let's think about this again. $10,000 to educate a kid in public school, he scores at 50. $2,500 a year in parochial school, he scores at 80. Spend $1,000 a year, he scores at 86. So for one-tenth as much money, you get a kid that's 60% smarter than the public school. So what's the solution? Hell, you don't have to be too smart. Abolish all the public schools, send all the kids home, educate them at home. Moms and dads do that with their $1,000 fee or fund, and one-tenth as much turns out a kid 60% academically smarter. Now, why don't we do that? Well, because school is a $500 billion a year business, and we ain't going to throw a cash cow like that away. And so school uses the police power of the state. Now, remember I said you got vanity, jealousy, lust, greed? Here comes the police power, fear. Fear. It's the more powerful of all. And the reason that you're buying that auto insurance policy isn't because you want it, need it, or think you need it. It's because if you don't have it, the policeman's going to give you a fine, maybe put you in jail. The reason you send your kid to public school is because you're afraid social aid is going to take your kid away from you. And the reason you go to the allopathic medical doctor is because you've been trained to believe that allopathic medicine has the answer to cancer. And you learned that in public school. You learned that from the preacher. And you learned that from government. You've been taught and trained to be the perfect socialist student. And we call that indoctrination. That's what we do to soldiers. We take them into the army and we indoctrinate them. We put you into public school and we indoctrinate you. We put you in church and we indoctrinate you. Now, this indoctrination is very powerful. We don't show you allopathic medicine and holistic medicine. See, most of you people never heard of a naturopath or a holistic medicine. But you know all about medical doctors. You know all about vaccinations. You know all about cut, burn, and poison as a treatment for cancer. You've been taught and indoctrinated. Education is the process where we give you the alternative. We tell you, well, now you've got homeschool, parochial school, and public school. Let me give you the facts about these three, then you go home and make a decision. Nobody's ever done that with you. They taught you about public school. They said it's the law. You have to do this. And if you don't do this, here's the punishment that comes from it. Nobody, they just ignored parochial school. It exists, and you know it exists. You don't know what it costs. You don't know how to involve yourself in it. You don't know much about it. It's probably inferior. And you're afraid of parochial school, and you're terrified of homeschool. I mean, the thought that you would educate your own child is just terrifying. You just could not handle that. The thought that you could cure your own cancer is so terrifying that you put it right out of your mind. It's just impossible. That can't be done. In fact, when I said to you, there's a cure for cancer, 14 of them, you dismissed that immediately. You said, this guy's a kook. This guy must be a communist. Now, I've showed you people over and over again that one of the few people in America that isn't practicing communist, or is not a practicing communist, is Ron Paul. The other two presidential candidates are both practicing communists. They both practice and advocate and are running on platforms that include all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. The alternative that you had in this election cycle was Ron Paul. And you all rejected him out of hand. See? All right, now, that proves my point. That's what indoctrination does. Now, you want change. What in the hell change are you going to get in the public school system from John McCain or Barack Obama? See, the change that you need, if you really wanted your children to be smarter, if you wanted the smartest possible child that money can buy, you would educate your child at home, which was the model adopted by our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Not a single one of the 56 signers to the Declaration of Independence went to public school. That's because there weren't any public schools. They were all homeschooled or they were all educated in parochial schools, and we call them geniuses. Every signer, every participant in the Constitutional Convention was homeschooled or parochial schooled. which today, when you homeschool or parochial school a child, he'll score at 80 to 86 percentile. When you put him off in the public school, he'll score at the 50th percentile, or in the inner city public schools like Washington, D.C. and New Orleans at the 28th percentile. If you want the dumbest possible kid that you can turn out in America, send him to PS 235 in New York City. You can't beat that one. Turns out the dumbest kid in the country, PS 235. That's not true because I said so. I'm just reporting to you that's the way life is. Now, you don't want dumb kids. You're sitting there saying, well, I want smart kids, but you want to elect Barack Obama or John McCain so that they can perpetuate the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for free education for all children in public school, which is a proven loser. Now, let's pass that on to cancer over here. I told you there's 14 cures to cancer. I told you that there is a government, medicine, pharmaceutical conspiracy for the express purpose of making cancer a $500 billion a year industry. They've already done that. And 63% of the cases that come to them, they can't cure. 37% they can cure. Now somebody's going to say, well, I went to public school and I'm a nuclear physicist and I'm a pretty smart kid. That's true. Public school turns out geniuses. Public school turns out a lot of bright people. Public school educates a lot of people. And they're very competent and qualified people. But most of them aren't. That's the tragedy of it. Most of them aren't. Now, if you want to have a real smart kid, you educate him at home with a homeschooling program, and you could turn to some guy that was turned out of homeschool who is an absolute dunce, an imbecile, a nitwit, and that'll happen. Not every kid that comes out of a homeschool is a genius, and some of them are nitwits. But if you take an average, if you take 100 people and you educate them in homeschool, educate them in parochial school, educate them in a public school, and then you compare, which is what we do with cancer. We take 100 people that are in the Mormon church and 100 people that are in the Catholic church and 100 people over here that are in the nothing church, and we take a look at those people and we come to a conclusion. We take 100 people that are Mormons that don't smoke and 100 people that do smoke, and then we look at the outcome of it and we draw a conclusion. No big mystery here. Now, people are motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. And it's your fear of cancer that motivates you to go to the allopathic medical doctor because that's what you've been indoctrinated to believe. Just like you've been indoctrinated to believe in public school, which is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, which turns out the dumbest broad spectrum of people in the country. It gives you exactly what you don't want, can't use, don't need, and shouldn't have. And, oh, God, you're lined up to get more of it. No, I'm not here to get you to take your kid out of public school. I'm not here to get you to give up allopathic medicine as a cure to cancer. I mean, that's your choice in life. Hell, that's what life is all about. Life is made up of choices. And I like to give people a broader range of choices. I would like to see cancer as a freedom of choice initiative. Just, if you want to go to a naturopath, I think that you ought to be able to do that. I think that every state in the union ought to open up allopathic medicine to everybody that wants to participate and practice it. And I think they ought to open up holistic medicine so that everybody that wants to practice that and everybody that wants to participate in it can, and let those people make a choice for themselves. But you don't have that. You have bureaucrats. You have politicians making those decisions for you. Politicians in the Food and Drug Administration decide what kind of cancer care you're going to get. And you have to be educated to know that there's an alternative, and then if you want that alternative, you've got to leave the United States and go to Mexico or Switzerland or someplace else to get it. And so I don't think that's the way we ought to do things. I think that we ought to have freedom of choice. I mean, ladies, you want freedom of choice to practice abortion. Why shouldn't you have freedom of choice to practice cancer therapy? If you want freedom of choice to practice abortion, why shouldn't you have freedom of choice to send your child to a home school, a parochial school, or a public school, or a charter school, or whatever school you want to send them to, or to no school at all? How's that for a plan? And why don't we leave education and the choice of education to the parents? We don't. We haven't. We're not. And we aren't going to. But I think we should. And the same thing applies to cancer. Now, we're not going to change our cancer laws, and neither is Barack Obama, and neither is John McCain. Neither one of them are going to change the FDA. If you wanted real change, I think that you need to vote for somebody else. You need some other modality here. Now, I said to you, I'm going to show you what causes disease, sickness, and plague and where it comes from. For people who say nutrition is important, but lack of nutrition cannot cause really major life-threatening disease, I want to point to scurvy, lack of vitamin C, and rickets, lack of vitamin D, as two examples of nutritionally based diseases, which even allopathic medicine acknowledges. Boys and girls, if you deprive your body of vitamin D, you get rickets. Deprive your body of vitamin C, you get scurvy. Now, if you take a look at the list of diseases which can be alleviated or completely cured by proper nutrition, or if you carefully administer nutritional therapy, now it's a lot harder to stop being sick than it is to get sick in the first place. It's a lot harder to cure cancer than it is to avoid it. Boys and girls, if there's any way that you can avoid cancer, let me recommend that as your first course of action. But you know, there's a bunch of you people out there that have cancer right now. All right, so you can't avoid it. You've already got it. I just wanted to point out that there's a cure for it. You can go to the allopathic medical doctor, and he can cure 37% of them for 5 years. What about the other 63? There's 14 cures out there. The other 13 will cure your cancer the other 63% of the time. If you catch it before your body energy drops below 15%. And that's what one old naturopath told me. Now, it's quite an extensive list. Now, as for toxins that cause disease, one needs to look beyond the obvious cases of poisoning to see the scope of the problem. If nutritional deficiency is caused by not putting something into your body that needs to be there to survive and or to be healthy, then toxic buildup is caused by putting something into your body that will prevent it from surviving and or being healthy, such as putting in too much alcohol causes cirrhosis of the liver. Putting in too much protein causes gout. And it's, you know, it's not rocket science here, just cause and effect and observation. Hell's been going on for hundreds of years. Mickey Mantle died of cirrhosis of the liver. My Uncle Carol died of cirrhosis of the liver. Put in too much alcohol. That doesn't mean that alcohol is bad for you, and it doesn't mean that meat is bad for you. It means that too much of it is bad for you. Moderation. That's what the bottom line is. Now, you might sit there and say, well, how much is moderation? Well, you know, moderation is common sense. Let's take drinking, for instance. One time I needed to test drinking, and so I went out and bought a bottle of, that was Old Crow. And I started drinking Old Crow until I passed out drunk. That taught me a valuable lesson. I was sick. I was puking. I was headachy. I was miserable. I was sick. And lesson number one, well, about a half a fifth of Old Crow is too much. So then I tried drinking just one drink, just 1 ounce. And I got a little buzz on, but it wasn't very much, and it didn't really satisfy my need for alcohol. And so I came to the conclusion that one drink isn't enough, but 10 is too many. So I kept experimenting until I got it down to 4. Now, I can report to you that 4 highballs is about my limit. That's enough to satisfy my need for drinking, but it's not too much that it makes me drunk, passed out under the table, and packed off by the paramedics to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. You know, somewhere between the extremes is where moderation comes in. So, you know, how much meat is enough? Well, I don't know. I know that a gallon of wine is too much for my Uncle Carol. Even he couldn't handle a gallon a day, but I'm not sitting here telling you how much wine you ought to drink or telling you how much meat you ought to eat or how much vitamin C you need to take. We do find out, though, that if you take lots of vitamin C, if you take too much of it, it will give you diarrhea. When you take vitamin C to excess and you get diarrhea, don't you think maybe you ought to cut back a little bit? And you know, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out, but I mean, you have to have a little bit of common sense. I'd say an IQ around 80, matched with a little common sense for practical experience, ought to be able to help you along that line. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about cancer is a racket. It's not the only racket out there, but it's a big one, $500 billion a year. Now, such things range from tar and nicotine, which causes lung cancer, meat that comes from carnivorous herbivores. This can cause NVCJD, that's called New Variant Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease, also known as human version of mad cow disease, which is caused by prions, mutated proteins resembling crystals. Fat. Now, how many articles have you seen telling you to cut down on your fat in your diet because it causes heart disease? Now, we can sit here and talk about what causes disease. Now, you know as well as I do some of the causes for some of these diseases. Now, let's back up here. You know that fat causes cardiovascular disease, and yet you eat at McDonald's. Did you know that the hamburger that is being cooked up in McDonald's has 30% fat in it? Just wanted to let you know that, 30% fat. Now, it's probably got some other things in there also, you know, like soybean extender and other things. But as a matter of law here in the United States, government has enacted laws that require or permit 30% fat in your hamburger. Now, God told you, you shall eat no manner of fat. Here in the Bible, it says, you shall eat no manner of fat. That's in Leviticus 3, verse 17. And so you go down here to McDonald's and you buy these fat burgers at Wendy's, Burger King, the three big ones here in the United States. Wendy's, they advertise, our hamburgers are hot and juicy. Well, of course they're hot and juicy. You cooked them on a hot stove. And what did you think that juice was? Did you think that was lemon juice? Or you know, that was wine or something? That juicy is fat. Now you eat that, and then it plugs up your arteries, and then we call that atherosclerosis. And then we get pain in our hearts, and we call that a heart attack, and we go to the doctor, and he says, well, what you need here is bypass surgery. And he sells that to you for $100,000. Now you can get this fat out of your arteries through chelation. Every medical doctor in America knows that. Chelation therapy, they don't push it. They try to discourage it because it's cheap, it's effective, and they can't make $100,000 on it. Now do you see why I tell you that this cancer is a racket? The whole damn medical profession is a racket. And it's a racket that is promoted by government. And if I come along here and I tell you this, I run the risk of being ostracized or being prosecuted or of being jailed for even telling you this. Now, we like to think of ourselves as being a nation with a constitution that guarantees free speech, but let me tell you, free speech has its limits. Free speech has its limits. I can't tell you everything that you need to know, but I can tell you a bunch of it. Now, if you come to school here, I can tell you the rest of it. But you have to initiate that, and that has to come from you, not me. Now, when it comes to cancer over here, or childbirth, let's just think about childbirth for a minute. You know, you young women out there, you get pregnant, and then you've been indoctrinated, so you have to go to the doctor. And the doctor you want to go to is a specialist, and we call him a pediatrician. Typically, this pediatrician is a man, or at least in a lot of cases, he's a man. How many men do you know have had babies? Now, I'm an old man, I don't know of a single one. Now, I don't know much about childbirth. I know a lot about cow birth and sheep birth, and you know, I'm pretty handy at that. But my common sense would tell me that if I wanted the best possible advice in childbirth, I would want to go to another woman. I know that this is heretical, and I know that this is anti-medicine, and that this is really off the wall. But just using my common sense, you know, if I wanted to learn how to drive a car, I would want to go to a race car driver. Race car drivers are probably the best drivers in the world. I know of a race car driver. In fact, now that he's retired from racing cars, he teaches driving. He's a driving instructor, not just an ordinary driving instructor. He teaches policemen to drive. See, when you become a policeman, you need to know how to drive a car at 100 miles an hour through the busy city streets and red lights of downtown Los Angeles in a high-speed chase. Where do you learn to get that kind of training? You get it from a race car driver, not from some old fart that's sitting behind the car teaching driver's education in high school. That isn't where you learn that kind of driving. You got to learn that from a real professional. Now, childbirth, you know, is something that is kind of unique. You know, not everybody does that. Not even all women do childbirth. So I think I'd want to go to my granny. Now, my grandmother had 7 babies. She delivered one baby all by herself up in the mountains. In 1902, my Aunt Bessie delivered Aunt Bessie all by herself. And then she had to get up, clean herself up, and then she had to fix dinner and food for the other two little she had. That was her third child. She had 2 other little ones. By God, now my old granny, now that was a woman that knew something about childbirth. I think that my grandmother knew more about childbirth than any pediatrician drawing breath. And I'll guarantee you, she knew more about childbirth than any male pediatrician drawing breath or who's ever going to draw breath. And that woman experienced it. That woman knew what she was doing. So, you know, just common sense says to me that if I was a woman and I was pregnant and I was looking for somebody to help me with this childbirth, I'd want to go to some old woman that had about 5. I can't think of a better a better woman than a Mormon. some old Mormon woman, you know, that's had about 10 kids. No, we don't do that. And I'm not quite sure why, but indoctrination, I guess, tells us that we ought to go to a pediatrician. That pediatrician says, you need to vaccinate your child. You've been indoctrinated in vaccination. Every young mother in America knows we got to have vaccination. If I were to ask why, well, to prevent disease. What disease did you intend to prevent? Well, measles and mumps and all these other diseases over here. How many children die from measles and mumps? Well, I don't know. How many people die from, SID? How many people get autism from these vaccinations? I don't know if you knew this or not, but in Japan some years back they had SIDS, SID, sudden infant death syndrome. They didn't know what to do about it, and so they said, well, instead of vaccinating babies at age 2 months, let's wait until they're 2 years. So in Japan, they don't vaccinate babies until they're 2 years old. They haven't abolished vaccination. They just don't vaccinate as early. And do you know what happened to the sudden infant death syndrome in Japan? It dropped by half. Did you know that? Well, then, do you suppose that in America, if you just postponed vaccination from age 2 months to 2 years, you could cut your sudden infant death syndrome by 50%? I mean, if it works on slant-eyed gooks in Japan, wouldn't it work for round-eyed whites in Boston? I mean, come on, can you smell that coffee? Are you awake yet? I'm not here to tell you when to get your kid vaccinated. You believe in vaccination, but I've got to ask the question, why? Now, you all take your kids down and get them a polio shot. It's one of 35 shots now that you're going to get your kid. How many people in America get polio on average every year? How many? Can you tell me? Last number I saw now, 69. 69. Of the 69 children who got polio last year, in the year 2007, in the United States of America, how many of those 69 had the polio vaccine? Do you know? I do. All 69 of them. Every single one of them had already had the vaccine. Now, what does that tell you? Come on, you young mothers out there watching Barney, Sesame Street, and Mr. Rogers. Come on, let's put your minds to this. It tells you that the polio vaccine did not prevent a single case of polio in America. And that's because you have 69 cases of polio, and all 69 of them had the vaccine. So the polio vaccine did not prevent one single case of polio in America. And same thing is true with measles, mumps, and rubella, and all the rest of these vaccines, all the rest of these diseases. They have documented cases now where 100% of the participants have been vaccinated against measles, and then they'll have a measles outbreak in a public school or some community. 100% of the people had the measles vaccine, which just goes to prove that measles vaccine does not prevent measles. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that it causes measles. I wouldn't go that far. It probably does. I believe that it does, but I wouldn't go that far and make that claim. But it sure as hell doesn't prevent it. Now, the other day I was listening, and this woman was talking about on our local news, talking about the flu. And they were giving out these flu shots, and they're pointing out that the flu last year was worse than the year before because they had the wrong flu vaccine. But she said, you should get your flu vaccine anyway, even though it's the wrong stuff and it isn't doing jack diddly squat. But you should get it anyway. What the hell would you want to get it anyway for? People who get flu shots, 5 years out of 10, increase their risk of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. Why would you want to make sure you got your flu shot so that you can make certain that you get Alzheimer's disease? I mean, come on, kids. I'd say it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. You know, we're causing a lot of disease, like autism. And we're causing autism. We do it to ourselves. It's a toxin. It's thimerosal in the vaccine. Now, you're not going to get your pediatrician to admit that. He's going to say, oh, no, there isn't any proof of that. Don't you believe it? Hell, that's, boys and girls, that's indoctrination. That's not education. Now, why don't you educate yourself? Why don't you take a look at autism in a Google search? Why don't you go back to the very beginning of autism? Did you know that there was a time in America when there was no autism? Not a single case. Never even heard of this stuff before. Then there was a first case of autism. Do you know when that case came about? 1943. And it started to affect children. Doesn't affect adults, just children. Have you ever wondered why just children, not adults? And then chase it through and do your investigative research, and then you'll come to a conclusion. You know, I mean, assuming that, you know, you're not brain dead, you'll come to a conclusion. It takes some work. It takes some time, effort, and energy. And when you get all through, there'll be a stark fact that stands out. The one thing that we're doing here in America, and indeed worldwide, that we were not doing in 1930 is vaccinating all children with vaccines with thimerosal. And in 1933, we started with two vaccines, and today it's 35 vaccines, and we have watched a corresponding rise in autism. And now we're even taking the autism causer, that's the thimerosal, out of many of the vaccines, but not all. Out of the 35, 24 still have the thimerosal now. And the reason we're doing this slowly over a long period of time is to eliminate lawsuits. We don't ever want you people to connect thimerosal with vaccines. We don't ever want that to happen. And so we're working very carefully, very cautiously, to make sure that you never connect these dots. But I just wanted to connect the dots for you. I'm not here to tell you not to get vaccines for your children. I don't care whether you do or don't. But when your child comes down with autism or dies from sudden infant death syndrome, I want you to know why that happened. You did it to your own child. You caused it. Just like I ate too much meat and caused my own gout. You drink too much alcohol like my Uncle Carol and he caused his own death. Drank himself to death. Somebody ought to tell my Uncle Carol, you know, hey, let me explain this to you. I don't think anybody ever told him that what that drinking was doing to him or what it was going to do to him. He thought drinking was pretty groovy, pretty cool, as they'd say today. And so he did. He just drank and drank. He smoked. He chased wild women. He just lived life by burning both ends of the candle and reached the middle at age 30. Somebody ought to tell you that. You know, public school. You know, I just told you the answer. I said, hey, you want the dumbest kid in America? Send him to public school, PS 235, New York City. Guaranteed. That's a proven winner. Can't turn out dumber kids than that. Want to turn out the smartest kid in America, the guy that wins the spelling bee? Educate him at home. Homeschool. You know, there's a cause and effect relationship here. Now, when we're talking about toxic buildups over here, that's all we're talking about. Disease is caused by toxic buildup or by nutritional deficiency. Cancer is caused by toxic buildup. That's too much nicotine in your lungs, or nutritional deficiency. Your body is lacking in nutrients, and therefore it cannot fight off the cancer. It does not generate enough T cells, enough white blood cells. Boys and girls, I've got cancer, you've got cancer, everybody's got cancer from day one. Your body keeps those cancer cells in check, and it disposes of those cancer cells until your body doesn't have enough nutrition, doesn't have enough building blocks, and can't handle the job anymore. Then, slowly but surely, over a period of time, you develop cancer. So you need to do something radical. When you come down with cancer, you need some help. You need somebody that's got some cancer experience. My wife is one of those. My wife has had cancer for 30 years. She does not go the allopathic medical route. She uses diet and nutrition, detoxification. She's a cancer survivor. She's in pretty good health for somebody with cancer. Now, here's the tragedy of cancer. Once you've got cancer, you're going to have a cancer battle for the rest of your life. That's why I mentioned this. It's better if you can avoid it. But, you know, there's a lot of you out there. Half of you haven't done that. Now, half of the people listening to me right now, half of you people are going to get cancer in your lifetime. You need an answer. And the other half of you are going to get cancer, probably in your lifetime, beginning in the year 2020. Now, such things range from tar and nicotine, which causes lung cancer, meat that comes from carnivorous herbivores. This can be caused by new variant Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease, also known as mad cow disease. You know, we could sit here and identify these diseases indefinitely as to which are caused by. We can identify the cause and effect of disease. So why can't we identify cause and effect with cancer? It's because we don't want to. Hell, if we did that, we're imperiling a $500 billion a year industry. So we're going to continue to tell you we don't know what causes it and we don't know how to cure it. It's an incurable disease, but we've got to treat it. Send us more money and we need more research. Hell, that's been going on for 100 years, and it'll be going on for the next 100 years. Meanwhile, back on the farm, there's a cause for cancer, and there's a cure for it, 14 of them. Now, the interesting thing is that the scriptural dietary laws forbid the taking into our bodies of such poisons. Yet, each and every day, people blithely smoke while they eat greasy hamburgers from McDonald's, and then they wonder why they're sick. Now, those dietary laws were put there for a reason. It was there to prevent disease. Your Creator wanted to prevent disease, so he said, don't eat fat. Now, if you look at those groups which adhere, whether knowingly or unknowingly, to most or all of them, you see significantly lower rates of the common degenerative diseases and a higher life expectancy in general. Here's another example. You ever heard of circumcision? There's one group of people in the world that practice circumcision religiously. You know who they are? Jews. They've been practicing circumcision now for thousands of years, and they do it religiously. And the incidence of penile cancer, that's cancer of the penis, is practically unheard of among Jews. In fact, in the 20th century, there were 3 reported cases, and all 3 of them were reported in the American Medical Journal. Did you know that? Yes, sir, Rebut. It isn't that penile cancer has never occurred to a Jewish man, but it is so rare that when it comes up, it makes the medical journal. Do you want to know what group of people in the world have the highest incidence of penile cancer? Chinese. Do you know what country in the world practices the least amount of circumcision? China. The Chinese people. There's fewer Chinese people circumcised than any other group in the world, and they have the highest incidence of it. 14%. So here's that doesn't mean that 14 Chinese out of 100 get cancer or penile cancer. It means that of 100 cancer cases that occur in China, 14 of them are penile cancer. So when God told you men to get circumcised, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Now, what that means is this, that of the people who get cancer, 14 of them get penile cancer, and the other 86 got some other form of cancer. That doesn't mean that it was caused by a lack of circumcision, but it does mean that circumcision eliminates, for all practical purposes, eliminates penile cancer. And so you get circumcised because it virtually will eliminate that one type of cancer. Now, there's many different kinds of cancer. Now, when you deal with the subject of communicable diseases ranging from the common cold through plague, one finds that most people get sick not so much from the disease as from a weakened immune system, which cannot protect you. So when I talk about disease in this sense, I'm not talking about the 1 or 2 day sniffles. I'm talking about the 1 or 2 week flat on your back flu or worse. And even allopathic medicine recognizes to an extent the importance of nutrition in fighting disease. Look at how they've pushed vitamin C over the past 30 years. But having and keeping a healthy immune system requires more than just popping a few vitamin pills every day and going, well, I'm protected now. I guess I'll go out and munch on that shrimp and hamburger special done at Captain D's. You see, no amount of vitamin popping is going to protect you from yourself and from the penalties for eating poorly and in violation of the law. So if you can do that, and this is what people have in mind, I'm going to go out and get vaccinated, which will protect me against disease, and then I can go out and do anything I want. Well, you're living in a fool's paradise. That isn't going to happen. You can believe it. You can practice it. But America has the highest incidence of disease in the world. 99% of Americans are sick. 99% of Americans have symptoms. In 1918, it was 60% that were healthy. Only 40% had symptoms. So it's gone from 60-40 to 99-1. Now, if that's what you want, keep after it. Yeah, I'm about out of time here again, children. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.